Let us pray. I take the promised Holy Ghost, the blessed power of Pentecost, to fill me to the uttermost. I take, thank God, He undertakes for me. And the people of God said, Amen. That's a poor amen. The people of God said, Amen. Amen. I want tonight to bring you a message on four necessities as we enter the new year. As we enter this new year, we need to be wide awake so that we can learn faithfully what lies before us in the coming days of another new year for us. I have been thinking along these lines this week. And first of all, there is a necessity that we should look up and not down in the coming days. The poet wrote with great knowledge when he penned these lines. Look up, not down. Do you see how the treetop rejoices in sunshine, which is denied to its root? And hear how the lark, gazing skyward, is filling the world with a song. But the bird that stays on the ground is absolutely mute. The act of looking in the Bible introduces us to a wonderful study of the ways of God and the ways of men. The first time the word appears in our Bibles is in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 12, where we are told about God looking. God looking. And God then said to a man called Noah in verse 13 of chapter 6 of Genesis, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Notice how it was a look from God that brought about the destruction of the first world. Hear the startling verdict as a result of that look of God. That look dictated punishment, destruction, and total death for the whole world. It brought about the turning of the whole wide universe into a graveyard, and the world into the universal cemetery of the whole earth and its inhabitants. All must be buried in this colossal cemetery. It recognized no limitation to free ground. The sentence was passed. The immutable decision had been ordered by Almighty God, and nothing could change it. The universal guilt brought about universal deaths. No continent of the world escaped. No mountain escaped. No valley escaped. No sea or ocean escaped. The full day's vengeance is to come unto nation. And well may we ask who. Who will be able to stand? Is there an answer to the verdict that is so terrifying? Is there an escape route from the universal burial plot? Can we escape this death that never dies? The answer to this, looking down, is the answer of the divine, unchanging mercy of Almighty God. For after God looked down and passed the sentence and set the calendar for the dark, darkness that was going to fall upon the world, God said to Noah, I have a job for you to do. I have worked out your way of salvation. I have found a way for you and your family and all the beasts of the field and all the fowls of the air and all the fish that swim in the waters. I have been often asked, do you think that we're near to the approach the second time of Christ? Will this year bring the coming of the Lord? I cannot say. But I will love and move and have my being in Christ from every day to every hour, to every minute of every hour. I will walk safely through the shadows, listening for His dear voice. He tells me He is coming. He tells me something more. Behold, I come quickly. And therefore, I can rejoice. So this year, we have not to look down. We have to look out. But let me say another look that we must take. It is the second look. Look out and not in. See the sap rushing outward. In leaf, bud, and blossom, all winter it lay. Imprisoned while earth wore a white desolation. Now nature is glad with the beauty of May. We not only need to look up, but we need to look out. The Bible is filled with people who rejoiced because they looked out. Let's join that rejoicing party this night. There was in the second cradle of mankind, that is the ark, the getting of a second chance indeed. Noah looked out. And he prepared to land and take over the post-flood new world. George Henderson, the great Bible expositor, in his book on Genesis, looks at Noah the man. And he says, there are 10 things you must remember about Noah. One, God favored Noah, and Noah found blessing from the God that he favored. The character he bore, the fellowship which he enjoyed, the obedience he rendered, the testimony which he gave, the invitation which he received, the kindness which he experienced, the altar erected, the covenant which he inherited, and lastly, the sin that he committed. 10 things. Trusting. Testing. Temptation. Triumph. And at the end, Noah himself was soiled, but he was saved. Why was he saved? Because he looked out and not in. If he had continued to look in, he would not have enjoyed the blessing of sins forgiven. But he was a gloriously forgiven man. 2 patriarchs in the Old Testament, Noah and Lot. Both soiled, but saved nevertheless. But something more. Look forward and not back. That is the chant of all creation. The chime of the seasons as onward they roll. 'Tis the pulse of the world. 'Tis the hope of the ages. 'Tis the voice of our God in the depths of our souls. There was no way back for our Savior from the path he took, the Lord of life and glory. He, having put his hand to redemption's plow, he would not, he could not, and he did not draw back. With all of the determination of the immutable one, Christ continued to move forward. Listen to these words in Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Most High God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor fainteth when thou art rebuked of him. Let me say to you that as we look forward and not back, we must honestly face the day, if the Lord doesn't come, that we must die. Lord Tennyson, the famous man of letters, was sitting at his bedside, the bed in which he was in a few days to die. And the nurse came in, and she addressed him, and she said, "You know, Lord Tennyson, you have written many poems, and you've written many books, and many articles, and you're the great man of letters. But I have studied all your works, and there is no hymn among them all. I wish you would write a hymn while you are lying on your sick bed. It might help and comfort many a poor sufferer." The next morning, when the nurse had taken her quiet place at the bedside, the poet handed her a scrap of paper. And he said, "Here is the hymn you wished me to write." She took it from his hands with expressions of gratified thanks. This hymn on the sheet of paper he had entitled "Crossing the Bar." It was sung at Westminster Abbey at Tennyson's funeral and has touched many hearts ever since. Sunset and evening star, and the one clear call for me, and may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea. But such a tide as moving seems asleep, too full for sound and foam, when that which drew out the boundless deep turns again home. Twilight and evening bell, and after that the dark, and may there be no sadness of farewell when I embark. Finally, it is necessary that if we are really and truly the man and woman of God that we profess to be, then there's one thing necessary that we need to fulfill, and that is to lend a hand. To work, for the night is coming. Lend a hand like the sun that turns night into morning, the moon that drives strong driven sailors to land. Ah, life were worth living with this for the watchword. Look up, out, and forward, and each lend a hand. If you are really and truly in Christ, hearer, the Salvation Ark is calling you to lend a hand, as it did to Noah. Noah preached a long sermon. It lasted 120 years. But God spared not the old world, says Peter, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Mr. Spurgeon wrote some interesting things about the day that the ark door was opened to receive those that were going to be saved from the deluge. He said, on the morning when the ark door was opened, you might have seen in the sky a pair of eagles, a pair of sparrows, a pair of all kinds of birds that ever cut up the fields of the world, that ever floated on a wing or whispered their song in the evening gales. In they came. But if you had watched down on the earth, you would have seen some creeping things. A pair of snails, a pair of snakes, a pair of worms. There came along a pair of mice. There came a pair of lizards. And then there flew a pair of locusts. There were pairs of creeping creatures, as well as pairs of flying creatures. Do you see what I mean by that? That there are some of you that can fly so high in knowledge that I should never be able to scan your great and extensive wisdom. And others of you so ignorant that you hardly can read your Bibles. Never mind. The angel must come down to the door. And sinner, you must come down to Christ, who says, I am the door. There is only one entrance for all men, whether they be great or whether they be small. The reptiles crawled in while the mighty animals paraded in. You may be a poor, ignorant, crawling creature that never has been noticed by the world. You may grieve on the fact that you're unknown and unloved and uncared for. Come along, crawling one. God will not exclude you. It is the work of all in the ark to get as many in as they can. The zeal of Noah should be our zeal. We should be reaching out for souls for whom Christ died. Do you want to have a good new year? Start working to see men saved by the grace of God and the blood of Christ. Vow this day before you leave this preaching place that the coming weeks of this year, the coming months of this year, the coming of the spring, summer, autumn, and winter is going to be for you a time to win souls for Christ. I struck the other day to discover that in the Quran, which is the Islamic Bible, and of course, it's not a thing of truth, but a thing of deception. But in it, there is a part that says that Noah had another son. Three sons, but the Quran made up this story that he had another son. And this son would not go into the ark. The father was supposed to have pleaded with him. His mother had supposedly pleaded with him, and his brothers had pleaded with him, but he wouldn't go. And they said, "How will you escape the flood?" He says, "I will go up into a mountain. I will secure me. That will secure me from the water." And he refused to enter the ark and shared the fate of the doomed race. There is only one thing that can bring you through this world of sin and take you to the Father's house of many mansions, and that is the cleansing power of the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, I trust that there will be born within your heart this night, that you are going to live each day of the incoming year with the aim and energy directed to witness faithfully to Christ and to win men and women and boys and girls to the Savior. It's a terrible thing to look down on a loved one that death has overcome, to stare death in the face, and then with a mighty smiting of conscience admit you weren't faithful to your loved one's soul. You shed no tears for his or her soul. You prayed no long prayers. You never spent the night upon your knees for that soul. And that soul passed on, lost and undone forever. It doesn't need to happen. "Be thou faithful unto death," says the book, "and I will give you a crown of life." That's the soul winner's crown. The only thing that's worthwhile in this life is to live it in order to win men and women and boys and girls to the Savior. I meet many people in my duties in various places. But I have, during these past months and past years, sought earnestly to clear my blood from off my garments and to let them know strongly and sincerely that they must be born again. I was talking to a person I have long prayed for this past week, and how delighted I was when he told me he had called on the name of the Lord. God will honor you if you honor him. And there is one thing that Christ wants you to be. He wants you to share his ministry of the salvation of sinners. He came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I've been a long time on this road. I often look into my heart and say, "A long more have you." But I would like to end my ministry in the act of leading a man, a woman, a boy or girl to Jesus, and to put my hand out and take his hand and take the hand of Jesus, and the three of us to clasp together by the only thing that's worthwhile is to be a winner of souls. And unto the winner of souls there is a crown of life that fadeth not away. And the greatest crown you could wear in heaven would be the soul winner's crown. I trust that tonight, before we leave this service, we will commit our hearts and our minds to the Lord and say, "Make me a winner of souls, dear Lord. Show me just where to begin. I know thou canst never make use of me until I am cleansed from all sin. Point out the weaknesses. Point out the failures. But, oh God, make me a winner for souls." The best thing you could do, other than your own salvation, is to bring many on the road to everlasting life. Then, as old Rutherford said, "If one soul from Anworth meet me at God's right hand, my heaven will be two heavens in Emmanuel's land." May that be true of you and me and of us all. And if there happens to be one here, still out in the darkness, still on the broad road, still with the back towards heaven and the face toward hell, "Turn ye, oh turn ye, dear sinner, for why will you die?" Let's bow our heads. In about a minute, this old year will die, and a new year will commence. We all feel the sins of the past year, the things that we didn't do and should have done, the times we should have spoken and didn't speak. But I trust that there will be dedication of heart and mind and soul as we enter a new year with its new opportunities and with the possibilities of revival blessing in the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll just remain in silence as this old year. O God, our Father, we thank thee for bringing us to a new year with all its possibilities and opportunities. We pray now that thou wouldst cleanse us in the precious blood of Christ. We pray now that thou wouldst fill us with thy divine spirit. We pray now that thou wouldst use us to bring men and women from darkness to light and from the power of sin and Satan unto God. And we pray for any in this meeting unconverted, that they may hasten to the cross and wash their robe and make it white in the blood of the Lamb. so be with us for Jesus' sake. And everybody said, Amen. Amen. I'm sure you'd like to shake hands with the people around you and wish them all the best for this new year that we have just entered.